flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into our last hour of sports talk here at the Host Committee's Media Center Radio Row, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Want to bring to you one of our interviews we got earlier today. Washington, D.C. sports recorder Kelsey Nicole Nelson talking all things about the Super Bowl and a lot about Jaden Daniels as well, who she knows about and the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, and Kelsey's got so many relatives in this area. You know, her dad was at Grambling. And
right.
So you got to attend Graham. She's got so many different connections here. Every time we get her on, the relatives, man, they light up the text line about, oh, Kelsey, and I'm related to her dad this way. Or I was at Grambling the same time her dad was there. But Kelsey knows the stuff. She was the D.C. Media Personality of the Year. So she got to meet the photographer who's a who's from Cajun. His mom and dad don't live too far away
right.
from me. And so found out they got them everywhere. They got Kunas hiding around all over, but he's one of the official photographers for the White House.
Beautiful girl, beautiful personality. Here's our interview with Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Back here on Sports Talk, here on WWL, here on Radio Row, Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller, and happy to welcome in Kelsey Nicole Nelson. How you been doing? So good to finally meet you.
In person, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's
okay.
Like when Twitter friends become real friends in real life. I love it. Thank you for having me.
I told Steve, okay, Kelsey is a very attractive lady on Twitter, but she's much better looking in person.
He's not lying.
So, okay, so
humble,
I got an affirmative
humble.
On that. No, Kelsey and I go back a few years,
yes.
And she's a star in this business, and it's going to be a bigger star. But we appreciate you
of
joining
course.
Us here.
Thank you.
And is this? I know you weren't covering the Super Bowl the last time. It was in New Orleans,
yeah.
But I know you've been here a number of
yes.
times.
So second home for me.
Tell us all about what makes this so great for you.
Oh.
And I know every time we have you on.
Yeah.
Almost like all your relatives, they're on the text line. Oh, Kelsey's my second cousin. Oh, I knew her dad. They were at Grambling. And,
yeah,
and it's
a
really,
big but small world.
It's a big family, the whole bunch. So tell us what you love about New Orleans.
I love so much about New Orleans. Actually, my mentor, who is the former mayor of New Orleans, Mark Morial, who is getting honored this weekend. I'm at the Lee Steinberg party. He has been one that has touched me. New Orleans is so special. One, because you guys show me so much love. And then, too, like, this is a second home, right? My dad going to Grambling, all of my family being here as a child, spent time here. And the love is reciprocated here. That's what I love about New Orleans. The good vibes, the good people. No one believes I'm ever from D.C. They're like, you're too nice to be from D.C., though. And they're like, where are your people from? I'm like, New Orleans. They're like, that's it. That's it right there.
Right.
So I love that. The sports scene here. This is also a large reason why I got into sports, right? Sports is integrated into the New Orleans culture. My family has been Saints fans since forever. I'm still trying to get them to fully buy into the Pelicans. But they are Saints fans.
Okay, tell me you got no Wizards fan.
But I saw the trade news today, right?
Yeah.
So Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma spree. So my phone has been buzzing with that. So hopefully we gain like three more Wizards fans now, maybe, because of that.
It's hard to be a Wizards fan, y'all.
Like, it's been tough. But New Orleans is special. I will say the last Super Bowl here, 2012, I'm a Maryland girl. So, you know, I remember that one, the Ravens. Rest in peace, Jacoby Jones. I know that touches a lot of people in Baltimore's heart, right? Special game. Went to Maryland with Torrey Smith. I mean, there's so many connections, you know, there. So New Orleans is special. I will say we thought the Ravens would be here again in New Orleans. A lot of us did think they would be here. Fell short. But New Orleans is honestly probably the best place to do a Super Bowl. I got to say it. I got to say it on record.
Is so, like, incorporated in a small spot. You go to Miami and Los Angeles.
It's so big.
That is.
And the food isn't as good, Mike. I don't know if you know.
Not even Miami, huh?
Not even Miami. Seafood's fresh, but nothing else compares.
But it was so special, that Super Bowl, too, to watch a guy, I watch him grow up. Ed Reed.
Oh, yes.
At the Destrehan, right up the road from where I live.
Right.
And Ed had come so close, and he finally gets to win it and wins it right here.
Back home, basically, back home. Right? Back I remember home. After that Super Bowl, Ed Reed came back to Baltimore, and he was singing Two Tickets to Paradise. It was so special for him. I remember being at that parade in Baltimore,
and Ed ain't got the greatest voice either.
It was not the best, but Ravens fans love Ed, so they gave him a loud round of applause. But and so much talent comes from here, as you all know, and I get to cover a lot of that talent. So, I mean, New Orleans is the pinnacle of culture, food, and then, honestly, I'll say, too, the safety that's been here, I think New Orleans has done like no other Super Bowl. This is the safest I've ever felt, ever, covering a Super Bowl. Like, I mean, from the military. I mean, there's a police car on every block, right? I think that's been important, too. Yeah. So I just want to thank the city of New Orleans for all the preparations that they did, because I will tell you, coming here, everybody was scared for me. They're like, are you sure you want to go to Super Bowl? Like, one, I flew out of DCA, right? And as you all know, DCA had the recent plane crash and helicopter crash and the tragic lives, right? 67 lives lost. So that was scary, flying out of DCA. Then coming here, and everyone's like, Kelsey, you know what just happened in New Orleans? Are they prepared? I trust New Orleans, right? My people are here. Like, I'm going to be safe. And then once I get here, I meet people like you guys in person. So, like, this is the best thing that could have happened. So
it's been a heck of a start to the year.
To say the least. We need the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
We need a good Super Bowl, because I think we just need good news. And that's part of the reason why I love being here on Radio Row, talking with you all, because I think people have just needed something to take their mind, right, off of life, right? Just the real life, like, stuff that we see happening. So it's been nothing but fun here. I've eaten way too much gumbo. To my trainer, if you're listening, I will get back on schedule when I get back to D.C. on Tuesday. But until then, like, good vibes here
in
New Orleans.
Your trainer won't want to see me. He'd have me on a crash diet for months.
He's like, did you eat your greens? And I'm like, there's some green stuff in the gumbo.
Yeah,
there's some.
Once in a while.
The problem is the greens have plenty of butter and bacon with it.
Don't tell them that.
But one of the things we brought you on about, you talk about changing culture.
Ooh, yeah.
Because you're in the D.C. area, what Jayden Daniels has done there, and the impact of one guy, and he put the battery cables on the battery.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now, people looking at the Commanders totally different.
Yes. I mean,
totally different.
You know, before when Washington fans would say they're going to the Super Bowl, you would laugh, honestly, right? People would be like, okay, like, really? Jayden Daniels, I mean, I've never seen the city this lively. I am born and bred there. I just saw Fanatics, the top-selling jersey, is Jayden Daniels right now. I mean, I heard, too, he came through here with all the security. It was like pandemonium. I mean, he's one of the most popular guys in the National Football League, just maybe like 60 miles away from Lamar Jackson, who's probably the other big popular guy, right, and the National Football League. I mean, I remember when I was working for the team in 2020 after COVID, like, you could go to a Washington game for like $4 on StubHub. I mean, people were giving away tickets. The season ticket holders now, they're paying a lot more than $4, right, to get those. I mean, everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants to see him. And they really do believe that a Super Bowl will be coming soon to Washington, which is perfect timing with the mayor now getting back control of RFK Stadium campus, a lot of people wanting the team to play back in D.C., the new ownership being from the area. I think everything is coming at the right place. So there's people who want it back. They're renovating it now, right? Okay. So it's going through renovations. But now that it's back in the hands of D.C., the mayor and city residents can decide. Of course, the big thing is going to be who foots the bill in every city,
you know who's
right? It's going to be us. It's going to be us. It's going to be Kelsey Nelson and me and my neighbors. But, I mean, why not, right? The D.C. is such a vibrant city, right? I mean, if you come, the Nats be in there, the Spirit, the United, like, I think the football team does need to be back. And I'm saying this as someone who grew up in Maryland. I think bringing the team back to D.C. It's the only right thing to do. But Jaden Daniels, I think, is going to help to spur that. And, I mean, the fact that we just had Daryl Green Day in D.C.
Nice.
And Jaden Daniels' name comes right after that. And you know how special Daryl Green was as a player, right, on that football field for Washington. People have already put Jaden Daniels' name there. His legacy is cemented in Washington. And as we talk about the Sean Taylor tribute and statue that Washington has did, I think at the end of Jaden's career, I think we're going to be seeing a Jaden Daniels statue in Washington. I really do, because he's that special, and I don't see the franchise letting him go. He's the face of the franchise for now.
Okay. The then Washington Redskins select Daryl Green in round one. Okay, I get a phone call from Richie Pettibone, who was the defensive coordinator for the Redskins. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Mike, can Daryl Green play in the NFL? They tell me he's 5'8" and a half. Unless he jumps in the telephone booth and rips off his shirt and they got a red S on it like Superman, there's no way he can play in the NFL. 2 days after they bring the rookies in, I get a phone call, and he left me a message on my home telephone recorder. And he said, give me a call. He said, hey, I got to tell you something real quick.
Yeah.
He got the red S. He's Superman.
Wow. See, look at that.
And he said, hey, he can play at 5'8" and a half.
And look how long his career was a testimony to that, right? I mean, that's what Jaden Daniels' name is. DC being happy, like, DC doesn't get nice things for a long time in football. Like, I mean, RG3 really was, I think, the last time I saw folks excited.
And it was short.
It was short, right? Because we all know about the injury, and of course, it just was never the same after. And there was no belief in quarterbacks. I mean, you know, from Case Keenum to Kirk Cousins. You know, everything just didn't seem like it could work in Washington. And, of course, I know the former owner, Dan Snyder, a lot of people putting stuff on him.
I'm sure everybody's happy he's gone.
My gosh. I mean, I think that was the one universal thing in D.C., the hate of Dan Snyder. That's the one uniter. That was the one uniter. But now, I mean, what Josh Harris and what they have done, I mean, we had a postseason presser in Washington, just something that wasn't happening. You know, I just passed by Ron Rivera here on Radio Row, and I think what Ron Rivera was charged was what people thought would happen, right, with Josh Harris era. Ron Rivera, unfortunately, it didn't work out, but you see all of a sudden the names in Washington. Guys want to come to Washington. I have talked to some players. They're like, hey, you might see me in Washington.
He's going to be the magnet for free agents.
Yes.
Just like Drew Brees was
for here.
For the Saints.
Speaking of the Saints, though, what's going on with the Saints, fellas? Because what do I tell people?
How long you got?
we're waiting for after the Super Bowl to get a head coach.
Look, I love to New Orleans.
Last year.
That's true.
That's
true.
Dan was the last one hard.
That's so true. And it was the right pick, though.
It's worked out there.
It was the right pick. Dan, I will say, is also, I mean, Dan Quinn, from the way he wears his backward hat to, like, just his, like, just good talk with reporters. Like, I mean, Dan Quinn is the second most loved person, I will say, in Washington behind Jaden Daniels. I mean, he is truly beloved. And you're talking about a city who loved Joe Gibbs. I'm not saying he's Joe Gibbs in that way. But, like, he's on track to really have everybody behind him, especially if he can bring a title to Washington, which many see coming very soon after the crazy year that Washington had that almost led them here to New Orleans.
I think about it. Dan Quinn, he's much closer to my age than yours.
Yeah.
So he ain't hip. But he does know how to communicate well with younger players. And I think that's the key.
It is.
You got to have a connection and learn which button to push to motivate them.
I agree.
This is a different world.
I agree,
Mike. You can't just say, everybody's the same.
No, yeah.
It's not.
Because it's not true. Right.
It's just like if you and I know one another, we treat each other differently than you would somebody
else.
Right.
Because we have a different connection. Exactly. But I will say, Mike, I do want to see you in the backwards hat. Did we get you in the Dan Quinn backwards hat?
I had a hat backwards. That's good.
We got to get the WWL hat.
Most of my hats to A-Bear because he wears
them. Oh, he wears the hat.
I'm not a hat wearer, but if I had one, I'd do
it. You would do it. But, Mike, you relate well, too, and I think that's props to you. I mean,
thank you.
Mike connected instantly. I see all the great mentees that you have, and everybody, like young and old, has so much amazing. That's why I said I have to get to this table. I've got to meet the WWL crew because, I mean, y'all are just incredible. So, again, just thank you for
Mike's
the work that
y'all do. Mike's football knowledge is definitely impressive. It's like I wish I could
he
just
knows everything.
Off of it,
right? He knows everything, like just off the
he
top of his head.
He knows everything and everyone.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll give
celebrity.
You everyone's story. Kelsey wins the D.C. Media Personality of the Year.
Uh-huh.
So she gets to go to the White House, gets a picture took with the President and First Lady.
Yep.
The guy taking the picture is lived about a half mile from me. He's a Gitros.
Of all places.
Okay, he can't pass for nothing else than a cool ass from the bayou. He's a Gitros. So he takes the picture, and he's like, I've seen that woman somewhere, but I can't place it. The next day, I get a phone call. He's like, Mike, do you know Kelsey Nicole Nelson? I said, yeah. He said, I knew it. And it was you. That's the connection. I took a picture. She was the D.C. media personality of the year. And he said, we had to move, because Kelsey's sort of tall. We had to move her a little bit to get a good picture the way it was staged. And so I immediately got in touch with Kelsey.
He did.
Like, hey, the bum that took that picture, he grew up. He is
crazy
the White House photographer. Actually started when President Trump was there, and they kept him on, and he went through, and I think he's actually still there.
Wow.
But that's the connection. Somebody from the bayou takes her picture at the White House.
A good picture of that.
And it's like, man, what the hell? I've seen that woman before.
Yes, and he knew.
And he knew him. It took
small
him a while,
world.
But it was the connection.
Small world.
He's our own version of Magic Mike.
I love that. Yes.
Definitely appreciate the time, Kelsey.
Thank you so much for joining us and sitting down for a bit.
What you got coming up next this week?
Oh, my gosh. It's so much. I'm actually heading to Baton Rouge next for an event that James Brown is going to be hosting. So I think y'all tell me. But with traffic, if I leave by 4, hopefully. Okay. Maybe
what
I need to
leave. You got
to
be there?
5:30.
Maybe
any okay, yeah. So maybe any police center.
Traffic is worse than New Orleans.
Ooh,
traffic
that scares
sometimes.
Me. Okay,
no, I know I go every
so you
every
know
Saturday
okay
to LSU games.
Oh.
All I'm telling you is
I need to leave.
I would leave as soon as you finish this.
Okay, that means I need to go. So I'm going after this interview.
Appreciate the time. Thank
appreciate
you so much, Kelsey.
You all.
We'll be back with more of Sports Talk right after this on WWL.
What's up, everyone? We are here at the Host Committee Media Center on Radio Row, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Sosa. And now, joining us on our Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat, Dr. Rick Weiner, statistician extraordinaire. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. It's great to be here. It really takes me back, having been to the first Super Bowl that was played here in New Orleans 55 years ago, and here I am ready for this one. It's like my life has come full circle.
Dr. Rick, we talk about this in Super Bowl IV. It's underrated for what the impact it had in pro football. The merger was going to happen. Now this was going to be in the next year as it comes around, where it was AFC, NFC. It wasn't going to be AFL, NFL. But what it signified was the AFC had made the move. Because the first two Super Bowls, Packers dominate, 1 and 2. Third Super Bowl, okay, Namath and the Jets, you might say, okay, that was maybe a fluke game.
Right.
Wasn't no fluke in the fourth game. Man, the Chiefs, they wiped the floor with the Vikings that day. And it sort of showed everybody, hey, in less than 10 years, the AFC now were competing against the NFC or the NFL teams. We're on the same level. And so in the greatest moment in the AFL, it ended right here in New Orleans because the merger happened. And what it did, it opened up the 1970s. And who dominated? The AFC. Dolphins, Steelers, Raiders. You think about that, that back then, that was not the norm. A lot of people did not think the AFL or the AFC teams could compete against the NFL.
Right.
But Super Bowl IV showed everybody they could.
It did. And the Chiefs jumped out to a 16-0 lead in the first half. Stenerud kicked 3 field goals. Mm-hmm. And then they had the now famous 65 toss power trap play with Mike Garrett running the ball in for the touchdown.
Man, if the Vikings wouldn't have been hard of hearing, they could have heard Hank say it. He said it so loud because NFL Films mic'd him.
He was the first one, first coach who was mic'd for the Super Bowl. And that's still, my understanding is, the most popular Super Bowl highlight film that still is around because people had never heard a coach say the kinds of things that Hank Stram was saying on the sideline. I mean, people still talk about matriculating the ball down the field. And they know about the 65 toss power trap play. Yes, I mean, it was a real change in the evolution of the NFL as we know it. Because you're right, the Namath game, still people were thinking of that as a fluke.
And yes.
He made the guarantee, and they came through, and they really dominated that game over Baltimore.
They sure did.
And, of course, then Baltimore, then the Colts end up moving over to the AFC.
And so did the Steelers.
And the Steelers and the Browns, all three. So, it was really interesting, and it was a fascinating game. I was very happy that I was at that game, and in fact, I was showing the two of you before we went on the air.
You got a piece of memorabilia with
the media guide that I have, which is a little pamphlet. You know, now the media guide information is hundreds of pages by comparison. This is a thin little pamphlet that I happened to pick up at the team hotel where the Chiefs were staying, and my cousin and I waited for players to come off the elevator and then come out of the area where they were having their meals. And I have about 20 signatures on here. Six of the players who signed it are now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Phenomenal.
And a couple more could still make it in. So it's really amazing. And I've shown some of these players this media guide, and they really get a kick out of seeing it when I've been able to show it to them in the past.
It's amazing you've been able to hold on to it.
Yes, I'm very
thankful.
And
that it has stayed in that good a condition because I see the autographs are in ink pen.
That's correct.
Are
all signed
pen,
in ink, yes.
One of the things in that game is so memorable for me, and I got to talk to Johnny Robinson about it, is when, you know, he makes that interception and that one finger goes up in the air because he said, man, we had taken so much flack. You know, y'all the Mickey Mouse League in the AFL. Y'all Mickey Mouse League. And I was like, ain't no Mickey Mouse today, Jack. No. We the champs today.
And there was all the controversy about Len Dawson in the week
leading up to
the game, because back then there was not a two-week interval between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. It was a one-week interval, and it was amazing that Dawson just came through it so well. And the Chiefs had a running game. They ran the reverse, I think, a half a dozen times in that game with Frank Pitts.
Keep calling that.
Frank
and
Pitts.
And Gloucester Richardson.
That's right.
Yeah,
and they just kept doing it. And then the player that broke it wide open was the hitch pattern to Otis Taylor. And next thing you knew, he was moving down the sideline after he avoided, I think it was Carl Kasalki's tackle attempt there. And
we talked about it, that's one guy as an AFL player that he should be in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. He was not a good receiver. He was a dominating receiver in an era where you didn't throw the football a ton of times. It was a run-oriented league. But when you went up against Otis, man, get ready, because he's a 6'3" guy who could run like a deer. I mean, he was big time.
And how the game has changed so much, too. You talk about that the teams didn't throw the ball as much. In the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl that the Chiefs won against San Francisco, Super Bowl 54, Patrick Mahomes' statistics in the fourth quarter were almost identical to Len Dawson's statistics for the entire game in Super Bowl IV.
Wow. Think of that.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. And then I know you caught also Super Bowl IX.
Yes.
Pittsburgh and the Vikings. And I was telling you the story that gentleman that he from Homer and Frank Lewis, who was a first-round pick of the Steelers in 71, grew up on the bayou. He took about 20 guys with him to the bayou. You know, and he had his aunts and all his relatives and all cook for him. And so when I got to do the interview with Frank, he was like, when it was finished, there was nothing that you could chew. It was nothing but crumbs. He said, man, them 20 guys wiped everything out in world record time. And his family was, I never fed guys that could eat that much. He said, well, that was the last time I invited them down there. But they sure did enjoy that bayou cooking.
Well, they obviously did because they went out there and really took care of business with a 16-6 win over the Vikings. And in that game, the safety was the first scoring play, and we've actually had that happen a couple of other times in Super Bowl history since then. Brady was called for intentional grounding against the Giants. That was an opening score in one game, and then also when when Seattle defeated Denver, the opening play of the game, ball goes out in the end zone, Noshon Moreno recovers in the end zone, and 12 seconds into the game, it's 2-0 Seattle. So,
man, think if you had a 2-0 on the card, you'd have said, man, I'd have never won with this.
Right, then it's like, oh, bingo.
Oh, man, wow. Doc, hold on. Sure. I know Steve's got to go to break.
Yeah, appreciate the time, Doc. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I know you're going to be doing the Spanish broadcast.
For the Chiefs Radio Network in Espanol. It should be a lot of fun. I was with them last year as well. It should be a great time.
Awesome stuff. Appreciate it. Taking a break. Be back with more Sports Talk right after this on WWL.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettillier. I'm actually welcoming in now on our WWL radio huddle, Marshall Newhouse, offensive lineman, been in the NFL 10 years, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
How you been enjoying New Orleans, man?
It's been great. This is one of the better cities. I don't know why it's taken us so long to get back here. This is
we feel the
place.
Same way for sure.
Man,
we love
incredible.
It.
Yeah. It's been beautiful. I mean, and then we got a great weather week as well. It's funny, you know, the snow happening before we got here. We lucked out on that. But,
oh, yeah.
Everything's been walkable and just it's just incredible. So this is the best place.
Marshall, one of the things with you is, okay, in this league, you got to survive. Mm. And you kind of went to a number of different teams.
Sure.
But you survived in this league. Okay, because, one, you were a versatile player.
Yes.
Along the offensive line. I remember scouting you when you were coming out of TCU.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
And that's you went with the Packers
early
on. But you also were with the Saints for a short time.
I was, man. I signed here in 2019 and right before OTAs. And this was as close as I'd ever played back home to Texas. I was pumped. I wanted to be here the rest of my career. I was backing up Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. And, man, I was, like, excited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to stay here and be the backup. I am okay with that. This is great. New Orleans is great. And then training camp happened, and I get hurt.
Oh.
And, you know, I talked to Sean. He told me straight up. He's like, I want you here. But we had to figure some stuff out for week one, and I get injury settled. And the long story short is I end up signing with New England because you're technically a free agent after that. A couple weeks later, end up starting 10 games at left tackle for the Patriots, Tom Brady's last year, and the rest is history. But, man, I loved that my short time here. And I was already looking for apartments. I was like, man, I want to be here. I want to be here real bad. So
you talked about Eli Manning, and we'll find out later tonight if he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Your thoughts about playing with Eli?
He was great, man. It's funny. People are seeing now more of his personable side. He was always that way in the locker room and stuff. But, you know, being raised in that New York media, he just had to, you know, set boundaries about, you know, how much he's going to give away because he's trying to be the QB first. He's trying to be a successful quarterback. But he's an awesome, awesome teammate. Was the first one to crack a joke and lighten the mood with being lighthearted. But then we got to work. He knew how to work, and we went by his lead. And just a real – again – things don't go well when you're a quarterback.
Right.
He was the best about just being even keeled and encouraging guys and getting people in the right situation. And it was just a blast playing for him.
Jari Evans, he's also up. And I know linemen, man, they respect other linemen to do it for as long as Jari. And for me, other than Willie Rofe, Jari was the best lineman ever put on that black and gold uniform.
I think people underestimate his talent, especially because he played guard, but he was a big boy, but he could move, man. And he was – I know Drew Brees appreciates him. He was just an incredible guy to watch. And, you know, you end up watching – you're watching film of who you're playing, but inevitably over the course of time, you watch the whole league. And so he's a guy early in my career who I watched a lot of and respected he and the lines here. And I ran into Jermon Bushrod. A lot of those Saints guys were just awesome. And then, you know, at the time when I signed with New Orleans, Zach Strief was an assistant coach. He was getting into coaching, and now look at him. He's in Denver doing his thing.
So what is Marshall Newhouse doing now after football? What you got going on?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. And I'm grateful that there are a lot of things that are available to me. So I'm really going full bore into sports media. I've been doing the NFL show with DraftKings all year. It's called Pregame Power Up. It's a pregame show to the Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football games with Trey Wingo,
nice.
Formerly of ESPN. So he's been great. I learned a lot from him. And it's been an awesome year with that. I called some games on radio for TCU and then during bowl season. I want to call more games. That's been a blast. I want to call some NFL games for radio and TV as well. And then while this is going on, I'm in business school. So I started in the fall of 2023 and I'm graduating this spring. So
congrats.
Just a lot of things, stokes in the fire, and I want, you know, as many opportunities, you know, after football. And so this is part of that.
Okay, so tell me something about my buddy Sonny Dykes.
Oh man.
He ain't as colorful as his pop.
Yeah, I've heard.
Pop, oh, goodness. If you ask him a question, he'll tell you how the watch is built and everything else. But Sonny got some good lines, too. But, man, as a coach, he coached at Louisiana Tech for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Then he kind of bounced around, and he took the scuff, too. Ends up at TCU, playing in a national championship game. Now, they got waxed, but still, they got there.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you know, I'm a big fan of Sonny. I've gotten to know him. I introduced him early on. And, yeah, that first year was a fever dream. It was a magical run. But a lot of those players were Gary Patterson's players. They, you know, and so that was – he was the coach, but that was the narrative, and that's fine. But the success was a success. But then how are you going to build your program to reflect you as Sonny Dykes? And so they took a little hit on the head the next year, and then this year they built back up. And so I think, you know, via the transfer portal and Sonny just, you know, taking over the program, he's a different style as Gary. He's more of a CEO. Yep. He's more of an encourager. Gary was more fire and brimstone defensive coach, and that's okay. And so he's finding his footing. I think the players respect him a lot. I tell the story now. This is why I know they're heading the right direction. They went 8-4. They had a chance to win the Big 12, and you say they lost four, but no, those were close games. They were right there. The Big 12 is a lot of fun as a league, but they had, you know, they got snubbed a little bit with the bowl selection. You know, they, you know, that becomes a business at the end of the day for the bowl games. So we go to New Mexico. They had every chance to be an 8-4 team playing Louisiana Lafayette. And just kind of lay down and not show up. They did the opposite. They did what they're supposed to do. They had a lot of veteran leadership like, hey, man, this is another game for us to get better, and this is going to lead and directly influence next season. So they went out to New Mexico and waxed Louisiana.
They took the belt off.
They
that
did
day.
What they were supposed to do, but that's not a given. Some yeah. teams, they don't show up mentally. And so to me, that was a big response to where I think this program is heading. And so obviously you need talent. They're continuing to recruit really well, but they'll be competitive in the Big 12, there's no doubt.
Okay, I'll ask you this. You got to play for Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
What was your first thoughts when you heard he's the head coach at North Carolina? Now, for everybody, it's like, this is shocking.
Yeah.
It's not surprising, shocking
yeah.
that he's going to coach college players.
Yeah. Listen, I said this 4 years ago, that would have been a crazy shock. In 2025, I heard it. I was like, nah, it makes sense. I don't think it's a crazy thing. Obviously, I think he wanted to be back in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
He got a couple interviews, but just no bites, no fit. And so if you're a guy like him who's still got the energy and still got the bug and he can coach, this makes a lot of sense, especially given the way that college football looks now and the way it functions now. Listen, he's a professional head coach. College football, especially the big programs, are being run
it's
like professionals.
Yeah.
And so to me, it makes more sense than people realize, and that there's a reason he immediately went and got Mike Lombardi as his GM. They're going to have – you know, I've been getting involved a little bit learning about the new things, especially with TCU, my connections there. But these programs are going to have a full-time GM and then a staff, a personnel staff. They're going to have a guy who handles the salary cap, if you will. I'll put that in quotations, with the revenue sharing. This is the new reality. That is more professional sports than it's ever been. And so a Bill Belichick, to me, makes a lot of sense. And then ultimately, he raises the floor of North Carolina. Does that mean they're going to win a national championship right away? No. But he raises their floor because you think about what he did best. His teams were the most disciplined, and they waited for you to make a mistake. They put pressure on you in all facets of the game, and you think about all the ways in which young kids make mistakes. His guys are going to be disciplined. They're going to play really sound football, and defense specifically, and they're going to be a tough out. TCU's got them week one. I'm not excited about that. I'm going to try to make my way over to Chapel Hill. But listen, that's what I think he can do for a team like North Carolina. In a program with a lot of pride, even though they're a basketball school, a lot of pride in their athletic facility and a lot of money to compete. And so I think it's a really fun – we'll see how it goes. It could go any kind of way, but I have confidence that he'll figure it out.
We got a big test Sunday in the Superdome.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles, arguably probably the two best teams all season long.
Sure.
What do you feel about this matchup? And some of the keys, and who do you think is going to come away with as a winner?
Listen, a lot of people are not as excited that it's a rematch, but man, these are the two best. Yep. They do things so well. They're led by, you know, head coaches who have empowered their coordinators. Nick Sirianni has empowered Vic Fangio to have this stout defense in his image. And then Kellen Moore, who's getting all these interviews, to play with these toys that Howie Roseman has gotten him. So they're talented across the board. And then Andy Reid, empowering Steve Spagnuolo to continue to be his best. He's going to go down as maybe one of the best coordinators ever if he keeps this pace up as a defense coordinator. So the matchups is awesome. You've got Pat Mahomes playing his best. It didn't look pretty all year, but I told people all year, yes, they're winning close games, but they're winning. They're doing it intentionally. They are doing what is needed to do to win. They're dragging you to their style of play. They don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. Teams are playing cover two shell, making them earn it. He's like, all right, we'll adjust, we'll adapt, and we'll still beat you. We'll get make the game tied or a small lead late in the game, and Pat Mahomes is going to go suffocate you and score and win the game. That's intentional. Yeah, they aren't blowing teams out, but that's what they do. And so it's going to be – it's the top margins are so tight. But I think we have enough of sample size where I'm taking the Chiefs and Mahomes just because if the game is close, you get the ball in his hand. Whether it's a minute left or you got to go 2 minutes or they got 5 minutes left, they know how to bleed the clock. They've done it every single way.
Ask the Bills, 13 seconds.
Every single way you can think of. And so, you know, as talented as the Eagles are, I think I have the Chiefs, but it's going to be a great game. I really do think so.
Awesome stuff, Marshall. Hope
you
enjoyed
Marshall.
The city
Appreciate
the rest of your time here.
Absolutely,
thank
guys.
You, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Marshall Newhouse here on Sports Talk. We'll be right back with more after this on WWL.
Thanks for tuning in for our day four coverage of the Super Bowl going on in New Orleans. We'll be back tomorrow. Me and Jeff Nowak here at the Host Committee's Media Center, Radio Row. Mike, thanks so much for joining me this week. And I know Saturday you got a show with Bobby Hebert, Silver Slipper Casino.
One to four.
Go
see
check him out.
See us at the Silver Slipper.
Thanks a lot, everyone. Have a great night. For Mike Dettillier, Luke Augusta, I'm Steve Geller. Who dat? And have a great one, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow.